There's really no such thing as a wasted moment when a person understands that the whole idea of waiting for something to happen is a misunderstanding of the purpose of one's life and their place in that moment. We are, for all intents and purposes, always, I suppose you could say, the place where everything's happening. You're a happening. You just have to understand what that means and how to participate in that ceaseless unfolding. So I think we've waited about 2.5 minutes, so we'll start getting into our topic for the day. We're talking about new wisdom to be able to free ourselves from old thoughts and feelings. It's just a title. But the purpose of the material we're going to look at today is to help us understand that we really can't separate our experience of the moment, whatever it may be, from the part of us that in that moment gives its attention to what it does. And for the most part, our attention is placed on matters, conditions outside of us through a kind of a Jedi mind trick. Now, I don't know how many of you, we'll just do a quick poll. I'm assuming that most of us have seen some form of a Star Wars movie. I think they began a long time ago, but they've had iteration after iteration. And in those Star Wars films, there was this thing that they introduced, and I think it was like in one of the first movies where the Princess Leia, oh God, I can remember her name, Luke, and I don't know who else, Obi-Wan Kenobi had gone down to this planet, a bad place where I think they were looking for some form of transportation. That's not important. But they were on the hit list of the Federation or the Darth Vader, the Dark Force. And so all of these soldiers who always wore these rather menacing looking white outfits with big white helmets were out looking for them. And we get introduced to this idea of this Jedi mind trick right when they're on this planet. Because they're in this town and all of a sudden two or three soldiers walk up to them and seem to recognize that they're the ones to be arrested. And Obi-Wan Kenobi goes something like, "These are not the ones you're looking for." And the head guy, the head soldier goes, "These aren't the ones we're looking for." Because the master had simply placed in his mind not just the image, but the thought that these aren't the folks we're looking for. Let's move on. And they did. And I remember sitting there thinking, boy, if only I had some kind of Jedi mind trick, that'd be fantastic. And the truth is, and to introduce this topic for you, these old thoughts that we have are very much without our seeing it, because don't you think... Don't you think you're a little above and beyond the Jedi mind trick? Somebody telling you what you see and who you are and what to do? We all think that about ourselves. In fact, we resent it deeply, which is an indication, by the way, of the fact of it, when anybody tries to do the old Jedi mind trick on us. But here's an example of how we are involved in this without seeing it. How many times we're talking about old thoughts, and then we're going to talk about the suffering inherent in them, because that's the main theme for the talks this week. How many times have you heard the thought, "Oh God, I don't feel so good," or "I'm so tired"? Yes or no, these are pretty old thoughts, aren't they? And what happens in that moment, even though we don't see it, is that we hear a thought and we think it is ours. "Oh, I'm so tired. I don't think I can do this." And really what's happening is that something is going, "You should rest. You're not up to it. You won't make it. You don't have enough." Something in that thought follows behind it, or more accurately leads into it, that says, another example, how about the old thought, oh my God, now what? Now what? When you hear the thought, what does that mean? And we all heard that thought, all had that feeling. In that moment, aren't we getting the old Jedi? You are afraid. You are worried. Look at it. What does that mean? Now what? Behind that is not this Jedi, is not a thought being supplanted, a feeling supplanted in our mind. You are afraid. You should worry. Because they go together. And the imperative of that moment, the old Jedi mind trick part, is that in that thought that seems so familiar to us, is something telling us why we need and what we need to do, in short, and to get into the material. In that moment, when something is saying, you should worry, you need to be concerned, it is also telling us in that same moment, you need to prepare for battle. What does that mean? And behind it, you need an answer here, or you're going to get trounced. Can you see this with me, everybody? Just a quick corner here, if you will, let me know if you can follow the logic of what I'm saying. You need to prepare. You need to deal with whatever it is that your mind has just said, oh no, look at that. And then what happens in that moment? And we all know it pretty well. The moment that that thing goes, you need to prepare, you need to get ready, you need to get into this. The minute that that thought, that feeling, which is not our thought, it is not our feeling, it belongs to a level of consciousness that first perceives the problem, and then in perceiving the problem, substantiates the fear it feels by telling you now it's time for us to go looking for answers. What's the best response here to this moment? This moment being what our mind has looked out and designated as some kind of a problem, a pain that is on its way and that we need to deal with. Now, with that, those introductory thoughts in mind, let me pick up on the topic that we've been working with for the last two or three talks, and that I will continue to work with this afternoon and tomorrow. If you want to join us, it's free. You can find out about it. Go to my profile here, follow it. Here's the deal. I'm going to ask you a question. Is it possible to separate the continuation of any form of psychological suffering from any of, or all, for that matter, of the answers we have as to what we see as causing that pain? Is it possible to separate the continuation of any form of suffering psychologically from the answers that we have in the moment where one of these thoughts or feelings go, you need to repair, this isn't right, what am I going to do? Or, said otherwise, can we see that our answers to this date as to what we are given to see and feel, can we see that our answers to this date have done nothing to free us from that loop, from these old reactions that give rise to old thoughts, that give rise to old fears and concerns, that give rise to the need for answers to those fears and concerns, and never suspect that the answers that we're getting for these old fears and worries, never suspect that the answers that we're being given are being given to us by the same mind that raised the alarm based on feeling challenged by whatever that condition might be. I hope that was succinct enough. Because if we can even begin to suspect that's true, then we should know one thing for a certainty, or at least strongly suspect it. And that is that these old answers we have, born of old reactions, that these old answers have done nothing to free us. Maybe an answer, you know, leave that job, go find another place to live, as a result of feeling the pain or pressure of a certain situation. Maybe we have momentarily avoided a condition designated as the dark side that we have to get away from. But it doesn't matter, because soon enough, wherever we are, we're still hearing, the same thing. Oh no, what does that mean? This can't be good. What do I do now? And every time that that thought comes in, with it comes, you need to prepare. You need more answers. And what we're looking at here together is, if we can be honest enough together, we need to understand, we don't just need new answers, which means that our present source of answers that comes from these old sources have expired themselves. We've been through, most of us have been through all of the variations on how to be new theme. Been there, done that. So what we need isn't just a new kind of answer, but at the root of that need is that we need a new way to meet these disturbances. And a new way to meet these disturbances, these moments where this Jedi mind trick is played on us, we have to find a higher relationship with the answers to these questions in the moment. So let's look at it. We don't just need new answers, because we've pretty much given ourselves all of them, and whatever it is left in that remnant, in that boneyard, isn't going to bring us to liberation. We should be able to see that just in the world around us. I don't know if you've noticed this, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but it's becoming so evident. Have you not noticed yet, while you watch the news, no matter whose news it is, the news is always presenting problems and hinting at solutions, so that whoever the guilty party is that this problem is ascribed to might have some kind of comeuppance, and then everything would be set right. And we fail to see that that has been going on for thousands of years. That whatever the answer is to the suffering implied or pushed onto humanity, whoever that may be, the source of that suffering never changes. The suffering never goes away. All there is new people to blame for it, new conditions that are promised to answer the conflict, and then more money and more energy spent in what turns out to be a ceaselessly bifurcating path that brings an end to no pain at all, but buries it under this convolution of more and more thoughts and feelings that have to be sorted through until you finally arrive at what we could call our government, what we call our political parties, what we call the basis of this consciousness that's forever trying to untangle the mess that it makes every time it tries to untangle it with what it calls new solutions. Didn't mean to spend 3 minutes on that, but it's important for us to understand, if there's any chance for us to come to the end of this psychological suffering, and not just our own, can't separate our suffering from the suffering of the world. If there's any chance of coming to an end of that, it's going to have to come not just from some new answer, but it's going to have to come from a new way in which we answer the moment. A new way in which we answer the moment, and in that new answer, a new relationship with that moment, where whatever that moment may be, the answer is inherent in its unfolding. Not an answer outside of the moment. That's where we are now. Mind says, oh no, look at that. Mind suddenly separates me and the experience I'm having of pain from the problem it sees outside of itself. And once that separation has taken place, where the answer that I'm looking for is part of this Jedi mind trick that's telling me you need to prepare, then I go looking for those answers where? I go looking for those answers in the content of my old nature, the content of a consciousness that's asleep to itself, and that's actually creating the condition that it resists. So I can't look for answers there. I must find the answer to this suffering in the moment itself, where that suffering is brought to bear, where that suffering appears. Now I have to keep going. Can there really be a relationship like that? where our actions in the moment are one and the same as what we see in that moment, where our actions in the moment are one and the same as what we see in that moment. Here's a simple example. I've said it before. I live up here in the mountains. And I'm looking at the deer outside. And what if, I left the door open, and while I'm talking to you, a mountain lion walks in my apartment, my house, my little house. Do I need to think to myself? Oh, do I need the old Jedi mind trick? Oh my God, what do I do? Or is my reaction the answer to that event built into the event itself? And the answer is, I do what I am given to do by my instinctual center, by a part of me that knows instinctually a response is needed. There's no sitting here and going, oh, let's see, there's a mountain lion over there. Now, mountain lions, they're called cougars in this part. That whole line of thought would be ridiculous, because to take thought in that moment is to be apart from the moment and to miss what the moment is telling me, which is there's some form of mortal danger here. Or in my case, it might be, oh, good, I get a chance to talk to a mountain lion. But the bottom line is that the answer to the moment is not separate from what the moment awakens and reveals in our consciousness. Can we see that? That's not how it happens for us now, though, is it? Our actions are not the same as what the moment brings. Our actions are inherent, are caught in the answers we have to that moment. And so we miss this possibility of being in relationship with the moment in such a way that we don't have to think to ourselves, what does the moment mean? Because that's so many questions I get when I'm doing the talks online. How am I to deal with this moment? How am I to deal with this person? What am I to do in this situation? All of these questions, because that's how the mind works. It wants answers that have been pre-prescribed to deal with pain or suffering, to deal with stress and some form of anxiety. It wants answers. So that then when the moment comes, it can jump back into the content of what it thinks it knows and then meet that moment with a prescribed answer. But the point here is that the prescribed answers don't do anything to change the fact that the moment produces this pain. The prescribed answers, if we can see this, and all of their offshoots actually become the extension, the continuation of the problem instead of its resolution. And that's what we're looking for here. Can this pain that appears in the moment be resolved in the same moment it appears? And the answer is yes. In fact, if it's not, then it'll never be resolved, because it's been shunted off into a system, an unconscious system that will actually keep the condition alive so that it can keep giving you the Jedi mind trick, send you for answers that don't work. That's called reincarnation. So if we can see this, all of a sudden, bang, we immediately think, yes or no, the moment is asking us to resolve and reconcile that disturbance. That's what happens. Bang. There's a problem. And it literally says that. It literally says that inwardly, maybe in words, but it literally says, there's a problem. Here's a pain. Here's something to worry about. It literally says that physically, emotionally, intellectually. It literally says that, because that's all that we know to do, is to allow unconscious parts of ourselves tell us who we are and what to do. So the ask, what the moment seems to be asking, is not really what it's asking us at all. The moment is not asking us, what do I do about this moment? The moment is asking us to wake up and to see through the illusion that somehow there's a difference between what we see and react to as a disturbance outside of ourselves and the level of consciousness that's disturbed by it. I'm going to say it again. The moment is not asking us, what do I do? Because that's what we hear. The moment is saying, wake up and use this moment to see that there is a kind of an illusion, a Jedi mind trick being played on you. And the illusion is that there's a difference between the disturbance that we see we have to respond to and the consciousness that's responsible for that perception. Because when we can see for a fact that the condition is not the problem, the condition cannot be separated from the consciousness that responds to it. That's what experience is. Experience is our essential unconscious identification with our reaction to a moment. And what we're looking at here is that the reaction sets us outside of the moment, whereas there is another kind of way to respond to the moment where we understand no condition of itself creates pain. I know, and I can hear it already. Well, my wife died, and look, I get it. Grief is a definite form of suffering. But the condition, what we blame for that grief, the loss of a loved one, cannot be separated from our identification with the one we love. So that the extent of my suffering, even in that extreme place, the extent of that suffering can't be separated from the fact that something in me is so attached and identified with this person or that condition, with this finance, whatever it may be, that when suddenly that comes to an end, there's this gulf inside of us, and then we look for answers to fill that gulf with instead of understanding that that's natural at that level. But the continuation of that suffering isn't, and certainly looking for answers to get rid of that suffering are the extension of that suffering. This is so important to understand. It's critical if we're ever going to understand how to be liberated from what we're talking about, which is useless suffering. We're addicted, without understanding it, to what I call contextual thinking. Everything in our life is a form of something outside compared to something inside. And it's the inside of us that's doing the comparing. And it compares the moment that it doesn't want to what? How does any part of us know that's a moment we don't want, other than comparing what has happened, its perception, to what we say should be happening? So the image of what should be dwelling dormant in us meets this moment that isn't what the image says it should be, and there's conflict. And in that conflict between what actually is and what should be, in that conflict, there's pain. And when there's pain, then that consciousness responsible for the identification with that suffering says, I need another answer. I need to change this, do that, go there, whatever it is that it tells us. So that our experience of life is that every last one of these moments where we seem to be connected to a problem, the only way we know to deal with it is to try to escape or change or control that condition. And that never changes the fact that the suffering goes on because the consciousness responsible for it. So take a deep breath. I know I've thrown a lot at you, but now we're going to look at something together that should be pretty evident. You'll see this as I describe it. The understanding of what is does not take time. The understanding of what is does not take time. Now, how do we know that's true? I walk outside on a foggy day here in Southern Oregon, a wintry day. The ground on the mountain where I live is covered in leaves that thick. And if I walk out and I'm present to the whole impression, I don't have to think to myself, what does this moment mean? I am a part of the moment. So that instead of the way our mind works now, a Jedi mind trick, oh God, look at all those leaves. Who's going to clean them up? This is going to be a problem. I don't have time. Follow the bouncing ball here. Instead, that condition in which the observer and the observed, meaning the part of me that sees the moment and the moment that it sees, they're not separate. So there's no meaning to the moment outside of the integration of the observer and the observed. And the meaning of the moment has beauty in it. The meaning of the moment has all of the balance and harmony, the revelation of the seasons. There's so much in the moment that thought will never be able to describe it. That's why a picture is worth a thousand words. The understanding of what is does not need time. Time, our experience of it, is measured by the distance between ourself and the condition we're in. Time, the way we experience, is measured by the distance between what I see and what I need to do. I'll say it a couple times. When suddenly am I anxious? I'm anxious when I need to get something done to deal with what I see. When am I angry? I'm angry when I have to figure out how to resolve what it is that I'm experiencing that I don't want from the condition that's creating it. That's time. That's thought. And that moment that suddenly seems that there's this distance between myself and this moment creates this anxiety, when the truth is there is no distance between the condition and our experience of it. There is no distance between the condition and our experience of it. Even physics today, even though they don't understand it's a somewhat mystical explanation, talks about this idea of entanglement, that the action by the observer on the observed changes the observed at any distance, so they are singularity. That's the fact. There is no distance between myself and the event outside of me, my experience of it. It is a singularity, but that's not how I see it presently. That's not how we experience it. Our experience is that there is something out there producing this experience that we don't want. And the experience that we don't want then tells us we need answers to get rid of what we don't want. And we're off on this wild goose chase that not only produces useless answers because it doesn't address the true condition, but where each one of these useless answers becomes the next baggage we have to carry and then somehow integrate into the next moment where it seems like the condition is separate from the consciousness experiencing it. This is why there must be a new order of understanding on the spot. Something we're created to instrument. A new understanding right on the moment that it unfolds. And in that new understanding, as certain as the instantaneous relationship between the mountain lion and the man or woman who sees it, As sure as there is that response, is as certain as there is a moment where there can be a total action in the moment that isn't separate from the moment and that has nothing to do with you or I trying to get rid of that moment. Because, see, that's the problem with so-called spiritual teachings these days. It's all predicated on this idea that somehow you're going to gain some kind of control over the moment. No, anything in us that wants to control what it sees is actually being controlled by the perceiver. The task is a completely different one. It's to understand that this consciousness, its experience, is inseparable from the condition giving rise to it. And if I see that this consciousness is inseparable from the condition that gives rise to it, the action is inherent in seeing the fact of that. There's nothing to think through. We say, what's the meaning of this person hurting me? What's the meaning of being betrayed? What's the meaning of this toxic relationship, and how should I handle it? Failing to see that first, before there's anything that's a problem and a pain, something in you has told you that the reason you're in this pain is because of that condition. Whereas the fact of that condition is actually helping you, if you could use it, to see in that moment that there is something that came into this moment in my consciousness that at the moment that that unfolded, so unfolded this reaction to it, and then out of that reaction, the need to do what? To free myself from my own reaction. I don't know if you can follow this. I hope you can. Every painful reaction we have is telling us we need to do something to free us from a painful reaction. Which means that my attention in that moment is right in the heart of that painful reaction and looking to it to tell me how to stop suffering. And no reaction that this unconscious nature has can tell you how to bring an end to your suffering. The end of the suffering is inherent in seeing the reaction that triggers this idea that I'm separate from the moment and that I have to do something in order to escape it. This consciousness is the master of instantaneous separation. And in the instant of that separation, the suffering that caused it to say, I've got to change this, got to do this, got to get away from it. In that same moment, we lose this other possibility, which is what? What would be the direct experience of every moment of life if there wasn't within us, operating at all times behind the scenes, a kind of unconscious filter that interferes with the perception of that moment and all that we are? To see life unfiltered. I can feel certain reactions when I'm speaking. Most of us would be, are terrified with the idea of not knowing what to do with a moment we don't want. Believing that the moment we don't want is the source of the terror. When the real source of the terror is a consciousness that terrorizes itself so that it can look for answers from itself. And in looking for answers from itself, have a time to become where it won't be afraid anymore. And either you see or you don't, that time never comes. And while it doesn't seem like much to go on, that's the fact. That time never comes because this consciousness never stops creating it. Joy, I don't know why you can't hear. Maybe someone in the back can give you some instruction. What would it be like to be in every moment I'm in with nothing talking to me about it because I don't need anyone to explain it to me? If you go to a beautiful concert and you're listening to Bach or Beethoven or whatever it is, do you like people sitting next to you and talking to you? I wonder what's going to happen next. I don't care for that note. How long is this going to go on? Can we get some popcorn? When you look at it that way, it would be ludicrous, wouldn't it? I'm sitting and I'm involved in a moment so deeply that all I want is the experience of the full moment, the full experience of my consciousness as it is the instrument reflecting that music. So what would it be like to live as a human being as we are intended? To be in every moment of our life without needing one thing to talk to us about what's happening, let alone what to do about it. Because that's what we're looking at here. Because the suffering starts with the conversation. The suffering starts with the mind that meets a moment that it doesn't know what to do with because it doesn't match what it came into that moment wanting. And then the dialogue starts, doesn't it? To make as we're intended to, and it is, it's kind of a quantum conscious leap into a new order of seeing and being where freedom is not in a time to come as designed by the mind trying to deal with this moment it doesn't want. Rather, freedom is right in that awakened relationship itself with that moment itself. And where everything, and one day you'll understand this, where everything you need to know, every action that needs to be taken, cannot be separated from the actual moment and your relationship with it itself. Just a quick example, and then I'm going to tell you a story to help you sort of see a little bit what's in the way. I know so many people want to know, well, what's the meaning of this pain that I have with this person? Because underneath the question is somehow or other, whether we see it or not, a form of attachment, a dependency. Where who and what I think I am is so integrated with that other person and what they do, positive or negative, that I can't imagine for a split moment that, as I like to say, the only problem I have with another person of any kind is what I want from them. I can't have a problem with a person unless they're doing something I don't want, which means my problem is that I want them to be other than they are. And when that problem comes up and it's described to me, the problem is they're not the way they're supposed to be. The answer is changing them. The problem with this moment is not folding properly. You better get in there and refold it. You got to find an answer to get it to work out. Where what we're looking at is, if I see it clearly, I get it. The real pain in the moment is that I'm identified and attached to some level of being that tells me without that person, without this moment the way it is, I'm gone. I won't know who I am. So I'm fully reliant on the answers that separate me from the condition. Instead of understanding the condition is telling me, guy, if you'll be here and see the whole thing, you'll see this fear isn't because of the moment. The fear is because of what you think the moment should be and how you need it to validate whoever you are and whatever you think you are. So let's get on with this. I'll tell you a story. I like to tell stories because they help us deal at another level with the ideas that we're talking about. And right now we're addressing this again. Is it possible to separate the continuation of our psychological suffering from the answers that we give ourselves to it in those moments where suddenly something is telling us this is bad, then says, better go do this? So here's this little story. A young monk, he goes to the master of the monastery, and he's unhappy. And the master has had numerous conversations with this young monk. And the young monk is essentially always asking the same thing, only in different ways. Why are people like this? Why am I not learning like the others seem to be? What's wrong with me? There must be something wrong with me. Please, master, straighten me out. Please, please, please. And finally, the master, because he has seen maybe some improvement in the monk, meaning he's ready for a little shock that he wasn't ready for the last 35 times. He says to the young monk, before I answer, are you sure you want to hear it? And the monk's a little startled. Yeah, I'm sure I want to hear it. And the master says, you see, the reason that you're not able to deal with this suffering that you're always describing to me, the pain that you blame everything outside of you for, is because every time you come to me and ask for some time for a relationship through which you might gain some insight into this condition that is so conflicted for you, every time that you do that, hoping, I'm assuming, that through this new understanding you'd gain, you'd be able to have a new relationship with everything unfolds around you. He said, but you see, instead of that, when we're together, you always spend the whole time either asking me questions that you believe you already have the answer to, and then explaining to me why you aren't able to live those answers, or telling me that now you know, you've seen, and you've changed, and you'll be able to be better than you were before. So that the whole time we're together, you're talking. You're justifying if I bring up any point, meaning if the moment proves once again my answers have been futile, my reactions don't change anything. Over and over and over again, by the grace of God, I might add, the conditions continue to stir this consciousness in the hope that one day a new understanding will be there at the same time as that consciousness is stirred into its usual reactions and pain, that something new would happen. And then the master finally says to him, and do you know what the last thing that you say to me is every time we've been together? Even though I've had almost no chance to teach you anything, do you know the last thing you say to me? Monk, already somewhat shocked and corrected, looks at the master a little sheepishly, says, no, I don't know. Master says, the last thing you always say is, thanks for all of your help. How can we receive the intelligence? How can we participate in the awareness of that intelligence when we prescribe and ascribe to ourselves all of what we think is this intelligent response to the moment. Let the moment teach you about yourself. Let the moment teach you about yourself. If you will do that, you'll start to understand what it means to bear the manifestation of yourself in that moment. Because the manifestation of yourself in that moment is what happens when conditions, when the will of something that is timeless, when the will of that which is active touches that will which is passive, when what is touches what it was, in that moment there is a union, and in that union a revelation, and in that revelation the possibility of a realization. That my task in the moment isn't to tell myself what the moment means and then what to do about the moment I don't want. My task is to allow the moment to teach me what I have been yet willing to see is true about my own consciousness. That's what self-realization is a moment-to-moment, ceaseless relationship with what the moment is giving you to see about yourself, and then releasing in the same moment everything that you're being given to see, so that you're part of that dynamic of that true spiritual life. Then you will finally understand that the suffering that continues in our life only continues because we keep telling ourselves what to do about it. Stop talking to yourself. Start listening to something that wants to teach you the truth and allow you to bear the manifestation of yourself. That's it. Gotta go. Join me. Find me. Again, I'm going to be speaking later this afternoon and again tomorrow morning. You can find out about it. I'm not allowed to promote the event, but I'm online. I speak for free. There's nothing to join. Be safe. Remember your work.